There are lots of buzzwords in personal finance. Diversification, value manager, growth manager, buy and hold, blah, blah, blah. One that has not yet been integrated into the zeitgeist, though, is stewardship. When you think of the word, you sort of think, oh, okay, let's like taking responsibility for something, taking care of it. How does that apply to money? Salman Ahmed is portfolio manager at fund company Steady Hand. He joins us now from Vancouver to tell us how we can all be better stewards when it comes to our money. Hello there.
Hi there, Bruce. How are you?
That's like a very old world word. How do you think about stewardship and how does it apply to your thinking about money?
Sure. Well, in very simple terms, stewardship is about alignment. It's about whether your partner's goals are aligned with yours. So in the case of investing, your partner is the investment advisor and the investment company he or she is affiliated with. And depending on the advisor, your assessment of stewardship might also extend to the investment companies whose products the advisor is using to build your portfolio.
So what do you need to do to ensure that stewardship is present in that relationship? What are the sort of questions you should be asking?
Yeah, I think there's five things investors can do, and they require a little bit of homework, maybe a couple of hours, but that's not much when you consider that you might work with your advisor or investment provider for 10, 20, maybe even 40 years. Mm. So one.
Yeah, what are those five?
Number one, ask them to disclose their own portfolio. Now, you're doing this because you want to see how the advisor's portfolio might be different from yours. If your advisor is building your portfolio with a bunch of stocks, bonds, or funds that he doesn't own or he doesn't believe enough to hold in his own portfolio, then that should probably be a red flag, right? Two, you want to check with the regulators. The financial industry is highly regulated. Every complaint is documented, and you can look up your advisor and the company she's affiliated with on the CSA website. So the CSA would be the Canadian Securities Administrator. Mm-hmm. You can also look up their record and any complaints they might have received on IIROC and MFDA websites, which are the two main regulators for advisors. And another great resource, somewhat underutilized resource, is the annual OPSI report. OPSI is just the Ombudsman for Banking Services and Investments. The report has stats for all the complaints OPSI receives every year. It's organized by investment firm. It's really easy to read, mm-hmm. and you'll see a pattern. Bad actors will tend to receive more complaints year after year. Three, ask how your advisor gets paid, mm-hmm. how their commissions and bonuses are determined. You know the saying, right? Compensation drives behavior. And I'll give you an example. At your local bank branch right now, there is a weekly or monthly target going on. This week, it might be that the branch needs to sell 2,000 credit cards for everyone working there to get a bonus, so you know what their incentive is. Four, ask for a statement. You're looking for transparency here. The statement should be easy to understand. Unfortunately, client statements are often formatted to confuse, something you've discussed previously. Mm-hmm. You want to see if the provider is transparent with fees, returns, and holdings. And five, simple but important, ask for references. And these five tasks, if you spend some time on, should give you a good sense of whether there's alignment between you and your advisor.
Number one and number five are the most surprising to me. So number one, ask for their statements. Will most advisors divulge that, do you think?
Well, they might not, but you should demand it.
And if they don't, you just walk.
Yeah, well, if someone isn't willing to share with you how they themselves invest, then how can you know with some degree of confidence that their interests are going to be aligned with yours?
What if their risk tolerance is completely different than mine? So they're heavy into Bitcoin and cannabis, and I'm like a buy and hold guy.
Well, that might be the case. Do you think in that case your advisor will be inclined to have you build a buy and hold type of portfolio, or if their own biases and interests lead them to a different direction, might they not be interested in convincing you to go in that direction as well? Now, what you said about risk tolerance is totally appropriate, and that might be a portion of their portfolio. Bitcoin and cannabis might be a portion of their portfolio. But where the main degrees of difference should exist is on how much of their portfolio is in stocks versus bonds. Mm. That really is what determines, to a greater degree, the difference in risk in one portfolio.
You number five was around references. So I said I'd like to call a reference or two. What are the questions that I should ask a reference that would be relevant? Because I'm sure the advisor is going to choose someone who's going to say they walk on water.
Absolutely. You want to ask questions, very factual-based questions. You want to ask exactly how often your advisor calls you or provides you the service that you're seeking from the advisor, whether you've had to go somewhere else to get some proof of the advice that they're providing, and what kind of process the reference went through himself or herself to arrive at the advisor that you're talking to as well. That'll give you a good sense of what you need to know.
I love all these five examples. I also live on the planet Earth and know that most people are not going to do maybe even any of those five. If you had to choose just one and you had to be like super evangelical about just one, which do you think is the most important as it relates to stewardship and ensuring that alignment exists?
One and two is something I always push on people. Disclosing, having the advisor disclose his own or her own portfolio and double checking with the regulators as to the record of the advisor and how they've conducted themselves in the industry.
This is something that really seems to, I mean, aside from the regulatory check, stewardship, as you describe it, lives outside of a regulatory paradigm. Do you think that the more investors who ask these questions will increase the standards in the industry?
I definitely do, and I have some experience with this. In my previous life, I was on a research team at a company called Morningstar, and we engaged in a stewardship exercise where we rated fund companies across Canada and gave them a stewardship grade. And every year, Bruce, fund companies would call us up and say, how can I get better? Mm. It became a competitive thing for them. They would see their score as being a C, let's say, and they'd want to get better. They want to be a B or an A. So they would do what would be necessary to get to that threshold. And we saw this across the board. We saw many investment companies start off with low scores in various aspects of stewardship, but over the years improve. Unfortunately, Morningstar no longer does this exercise, which is unfortunate for investors across Canada. So now investors need to do it themselves.
Right. You don't ask, you don't get, right?
That's right.
Salman, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Salman Ahmed is a portfolio manager at fund company Steadyhand. He joined us from Vancouver.